Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Rise.
To wake on up,
wake up
with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Onto the bridge himself. Center field, shallow, on the run, and... another sliding catch by Jung-Hoo Lee.
That's a great play.
Was a great play. Not enough great plays last night, though, as the San Francisco Giants fall short. 2-0. Cincinnati Reds come into town yesterday. I mean, Logan Webb, is he basically Matt Cain 2.0 at this point? Can you get the guy some help? Damn it. I don't want a repeat of that whole saga, but... it was nice to see Jung-Hoo making plays, and I thought he was going to make one more. I thought Elliot Ramos was going to make another play, but left fielder for Cincinnati makes a diving catch to end the game there. Shutout yesterday, Hunter Green, hell of a performance. So the Giants cool off just a little bit. They're still 8-2, people. It's okay. Take a deep breath. You're not going to win every single game. Camilo Doval struggles yesterday. We have a huge game, though, tonight as well. And Giants-Reds, still big, but Suns-Warriors in a tight Western Conference. We're going to get all in on that. We had a national championship crowned yesterday. Florida, congratulations, 65-63 over Houston. And what might have been, Joe Shasky, as I say good morning to you, might have been the worst final possession I've ever seen in a championship moment. I don't know what the hell Houston did yesterday. What was that? You had a 12-point lead with 15 minutes to go. I know Carter was pissed. He had money on Houston.
A high-level loser,
yeah,
bro.
That was a high-level loss in the finest of ways. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Duke sitting there and Cooper Flagg and that whole team's sitting back and laughing. He's like, you know what? That happened to us late, and maybe that's just how it was for Houston. You know what? You got lucky against Duke in a way, and your luck ran out in that final possession, but still, a hell of a season for them, hell of a season for Florida. As I say, good morning to you.
Todd Golden, 888-957-9570. The St. Cecilia dad, the USF coach, let's go.
St. Mary's own.
We're doing it.
There you go.
Good for him, though. No, a lot of people know him from the region and the area. Obviously, he was at St. Mary's for a short period of time, at USF for a short period of time. And within 3 years of leaving USF and going to the SEC and going to Florida, he gets a championship. I'm very happy for him Florida, and all the people that know him.
Yeah, Florida gets their first title since the Billy Donovan era. The Bill Donovan, as I go, or Will Donovan, if you want to. You're a big Billy Donovan fan, so I always bring that up.
Dramatically overrated.
I know you
when do. You don't have, you know, suitcases of cash to pay a bunch of college players.
Well, you do
and
now.
It's an even playing field. I just watched that guy just completely throw up all over himself in closeout games in the playoffs.
Up 3-1, is that what you're referring to? Back
yeah,
in 2016?
Call a timeout, dog, when Durant's getting trapped in the corner. I mean, it's just like one of the all-time biggest blunders ever, as Durant just throws it into no man's land.
So you heard the call. That was John Miller and my guy Mike Kruko, NBC Sports Bay Area, obviously on the call for the Giants game as they get shut out yesterday. And we can get into the national championship game. Again, for me, no Duke, no Cooper Flag. Your boy was out. Nothing to take away from Florida, nothing to take away from Houston. My own personal bias, though, college basketball, this tournament,
I think, NIL. I think
because of the chalk, too. Like,
well, no,
there's big Cinderella story. I don't know. This it felt kind of stale this year. I'm just going to keep it a buck. It felt kind of stale.
Well, college basketball has been trending this way forever. I mean, everyone, oh, my God, the last four teams. You could have put 700 teams in here. We wouldn't have known any of the players. It doesn't matter.
Thank you. Like, and then, well, that's why Cooper Flagg, probably the best American prospect, again, since Zion Williamson. And again, and we're going to be seeing this in the draft in a couple months. It's going to be a bunch of Europeans. I don't know who the hell were. Hey, that's some good grainy footage. Maybe he's good. I don't know. But that's why I was so invested in this one, because I knew Cooper Flagg was a thing since he was 17 years old last year, going up against the big boys for Team USA for the NBA select team. It was him. It was Brandon Pajemski. And it was fun. Once he got knocked out, we have the drop. No LeBron, no Bonte. Yeah, no Flagg, no Spadoni. So there you go. Doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well, but that's where we were. But congratulations again to Florida. 65-63, the final there. They get the dub. And the Giants don't. Reds, 2-0. And again, it's not the end-all, be-all. We can talk about the game itself. I do think the bigger takeaway overall, just from the atmosphere, on a Monday night, too. A little chilly. It was a typical Monday night game in San Francisco. What was it like low 60s, high 50s, maybe?
It was a
wind.
Beautiful night.
It was a beautiful night, though. It was nice. It was perfect San Francisco night. And I felt like, we're going to hear this word a lot talking about this team, the vibes. Where's the vibes at? We talk about the Warriors, right? The vibes since getting Jimmy Butler. It's night and day. Oh, well, you know what helps with vibes, first and foremost, is winning. You got to win first for the vibes to be better. Because so when everyone's talking about, it just feels different. Well, it feels different because they're 8-2. That's first and foremost. Let's get that out of the way. Because if they are a 500 team right now, yeah, sure, you'd be like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, the vibes. Yeah. No, they're 8-2.
Yeah, but it looks
helps.
Different. It looks different.
It does.
And the reason why it looks different is because it's more of a brand of baseball I think a lot of Giants fans are accustomed to. You've got five or six guys in the everyday lineup. Check. You've got guys that are willing to two strikes, go the other way. Matt Chapman, just the other night, for example, on Sunday, you know, just a little slapper in between second and first. Like, that's old school baseball. They're hitting the cutoffs. They're executing tons of double plays. They're pitching okay right now. Logan Webb was brilliant last night. We'll get into him in a second. But they're playing a brand of baseball, Joe, that I think that Giants fans just appreciate a little more.
Mm.
They're resilient. They're scoring late in games. They're finding ways to win even when things aren't going their way. And yeah, I just think that overall there's a brand of baseball. And then there's just like this fun atmosphere. Now, last night, and look, call me the cynic. All right, just call me the cynic right off the bat.
Okay, I'll call you the cynic.
All right, there's this crew
cynic
of people
Chasky.
Called the Jung Hoo Crew. All right, and they're calling themselves hooligans.
Say that one more time.
Hooligans.
Oh, that's clever.
It's a
that's
play on
cute.
Words.
That's very San Francisco Giants.
It is.
Very, thank you. Thank you.
They're wearing like these like
that does get me pumped up though. I'm not gonna lie.
Like flame headgear hat things.
It looks like they're going Super Saiyan. Shout out Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
For those that know, no. Those that don't. I don't know where you were in the 90s not watching that anime, but if you weren't, there you go. It's the anime.
And there just so happens to be 51 of them, and you know they're all rocking Jung Hoo Lee jerseys. Look, paint me the skeptic, okay? But after I saw NBC Bay Area at the time, I think it was, I don't know, maybe called Fox Sports, whatever the
Comcast
local,
Sportsnet.
Yeah, whatever area, it was called. Yeah. They paid for the milkman. I mean, that we came out and we found out, like, the milkman, like, was literally a plant
by
the television station to create something. And then they got completely outed, and then all of a sudden it went away. All right?
Well, also went away because Melky Cabrera got popped for steroids.
Well, that too. But it went away prior to that.
Prior to that. I got you. I got you. Continue.
Now, look, it's a fun gimmick.
So you think it's an industry plant is what you're saying. You're going conspiracy. Again, we're going back to the conspiracy theories. Give me the X-Files music. We just go. It's always the conspiracy. Why can't it just be nice fans just all getting together? Big Giants fans are excited. No, we have to go conspiracy theory
I
believe anything anymore,
all
Joe?
I'm saying anything? If 51 of them, okay, randomly happened to group together.
Why not?
And they all had the matching outfits. Like, it just, paint me a skeptic. It seems almost too good to be true. I'm all for the organic, hey, look at all these giraffe hats and look at all these Let Timmy Smoke stuff. Like, and I love John Hooley, and I will get into him as a player because he's had a really nice start to the season. Made two great catches last night. All I'm saying is, if you're going to do the fan stuff, I get having a Jung Hoo Lee, you know, what is it? The Who?
Hooligans.
The Who Crew? Is that what they're calling?
Jung Hoo Crew.
Okay. Like, that's cool. It's great. I was part of Larry's kids. When Larry Hughes, you know, showed up, and there would be all these, like, random kids up in the top deck of what then was, you know, Oakland Arena. Like, that stuff is fun. I'm all for it. But, like, when you're all wearing the same outfit and there just so happens to be 51 of you, I'm a little skeptical.
So you're not part of the crew is what you're telling me?
No, I
do you want to be a part of the crew? That's what you said. Do you want to be a part? I think it's a
good gimmick. It's all over social media.
Let's get him on the phone. Come on.
It's all over social media. It's a really good gimmick. I get why they're doing it. You want to drum some stuff up. Look, Larry Bear's a genius, right? I'm sure his fingerprints are somewhere on this, all right? No, he is. Is he not a marketing genius?
No, he is.
Don't
be a stranger.
No one cared more about a mediocre first baseman who was just an afterthought league-wide than certain segments of Giants fans. Sam, I'm looking at you. All right? Because
you mean the one that won two World Series championships with this team?
Let's not go back to Brandon Belt, by the way, all-star, forever all-star, 2016, never forget. So he's, when you say his name, say all-star first baseman.
I buried you in this argument once. I'll do it again.
There you go. I'm with you, Sam. I got you back. By the way, did you see any therapy rabbits yesterday in the stands too?
That's a whole nother thing.
This
if I showed up to the game.
Priest is anti-therapy rabbit.
The therapy rabbit was there on Sunday. If I showed up to the game and I got my kid, okay, and we're sitting there, we're eating chicken nuggets, and I look over to my right, and there's somebody wearing, like, with a rabbit. It's like, give me a break.
Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube.
It's bizarre.
Brought to you by First NoCal Credit Union.
So we're beefing with the rabbit now?
Where do we draw the line? Therapy lizard? Therapy rat?
Why not?
Therapy raccoon?
Why not?
Like, at what point do you just get medication or not go out? Well, like, you don't need to bring the rabbit.
You're assuming that people aren't already on medication and that the animal provides an extra level of comfort.
Again, where are we drawing the line here?
There is no
on
line.
Animals.
Well, animals
that
can
bring with you as a therapist.
It's definitely somewhere after rabbit. Like, that's on the good side of the line.
Probably Komodo dragon.
I think that one's out.
Raccoon.
Well, people do domesticate raccoons, so I think that's kosher.
I brought a therapy pelican.
Well, there was a pelican in one of the games last year, so I think that is allowed as well.
I've seen that, actually, yeah.
I don't think those are domesticated birds. I don't think you can domesticate a pelican.
Come on, we can admit it's a little
bizarre. New Orleans did. Come on, that's
a deal. I saw a guy wearing a goldfish around his neck. I thought that was a good one.
No way.
Yeah.
Now that's that's animal.
See, that might be pushing it too far.
So that's where you draw the line.
No, that's like when you get the little baggie from the fair, and then like you shake it a little bit, and then you get home. It's just like, oh, what happened to the fish, Mom? It's like, oh, well, he shook
it. Like the girl from Finding Nemo.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I was
Darla.
Thank you. Well, I didn't know. Well, I don't know if Joe knows those references anymore. Have you watched Finding Nemo with the little guy yet? So you haven't gotten there, have you?
I love Finding Nemo.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just making sure.
It's
okay.
A classic.
All right. I don't know. I know they have the Disney with Dad segment, but like you've seen actually all the Disney movies without being a father already is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We just watched Sword in the Stone the other night.
Classic. Love Sword in the Stone.
And then the Robin Hood one is so good. The rooster that plays the guitar. Oh, dude, he's so good. Gosh, so good. Jungle Book. We're on Jungle Book.
Mowgli.
Dude, the whole thing on, like, the song that the monkeys and the apes are singing is a banger.
Shere Khan, that's the bad guy, right?
Yeah, Shere Khan's the tiger, yeah.
Not Amir Khan, shout out Aura, NC State, baby. Let's go. Yeah, give it to me.
Jung Hoo Lee, right now, Jung Hoo Lee. has actually been everything that we were looking for last offseason. He's putting the ball in play. He's showcasing his speed. He's made some really nice plays in center field.
He's been fun. And we talked about it before the season started. Like, this guy has a true potential to be the most, or funnest player, that is a word, right? Not funner, but funnest player on the team, just because he's dynamic and dynastic, and he's got a little bit of that flair when he comes out of the box. Not saying he's this player, Ichiro-esque when he's out there. It reminds you of him when he has that slap hit. A lot of the Japanese players do it coming over here, a lot of the Korean players. And getting out of the box is fun. Yeah.
I would go more like, if you're a Giants fan back in the day, like, think like what Brett
Butler. He's not, let me be very clear, he's not Ichiro.
Yeah, Ichiro's
just saying the flair of what he brings, okay, some of that.
I was going to say more Brett Butler, where every time Brett Butler came up, like, he's just a nuisance. You know, he's a guy that's going to slap the ball the other way. He might bunt it. He might chop one. Actually, Jung-Hoo Lee hit a bomb last night.
It would have any other park that's probably out, but no, San Francisco at night.
You know, I get sick and tired of hearing that, because no, in any other park it's not out, because hello, Marine Layer. Like, there's many elements on the whole thing.
Okay,
like,
if that was in St. Louis, that's gone. There's actually stats for this too. Like, is it a home run or is it a dong? Isn't that what it is?
No, they do that.
What a dong?
But they don't account. But they don't account for air pressure and where you're at altitude wise.
Sure,
but you've hit a golf ball. Like, if you're in Denver, the ball flies a lot farther.
I was in North Carolina last year during in August in the humidity, and I was striping that thing 300 yards.
But if I'm doing it
in the morning at Pebble Beach, it's not going to go that far.
Exactly. Yes. The beauty of baseball is you got to hit them where they ain't. And so, like, that's just baked into the game. So, but I get back to Jung-Hoo Lee. He's hitting the ball very well right now. He's playing really good defense. He's got a plus-plus arm. And what I think is probably the coolest part about the whole thing is he's come through clutch over and over again for them early in the season. He's that scrappy type of player who can drive in a run, who can go first to third, puts pressure on a pitcher. And I think he's been a real positive this year. What you're seeing in the first 10 games is what I was hoping we would see all last year. Like, I really like the player. He plays a winning brand of baseball. I'll give Farhan this. I see what he saw in him. You know, I don't know if he'll live up to the contract. He's got a pretty big deal, and it makes a lot of money. It escalates as it goes forward. But in terms of being surprised at the beginning of the year, I've been really surprised with how good he's been.
I was starting to be surprised with another player on the Giants who was a former All-Star. Still, you can always call him an All-Star, but I don't know if he's going to get back to that level. It's Camilo Doval, who started out, promising. All right, maybe that swagger's back. We talked about it, Joe.
Three great appearances to start the season.
And these last three appearances have not been his best.
No.
Particularly last night, a third of an inning, two earned runs attached to him as Eric Miller takes over for him in a walk. He just looked all over the place. He had a hit. I don't know who that Reds player was that got hit on the knee. He took that like a champ because that looked painful as hell. But he just walked right over to first base, and that was the end of Camilo Doval. Looks like his swagger now that lasted all for a week. Looks like it's gone.
Well, there's a lot to break down.
Pitch clock. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I want to bring him up, and I want to hear from the fans. I put out a little something last night because, like, I'm really excited about Doval's start to the year. Well, these last two outings have been awful. Mm. If I say to you, Jonathan Kuminga seems to be one of the most polarizing players on the Warriors for fans.
Not even close. Yeah.
I think it's Camilo Doval for the Giants. If you bring up the name Camilo Doval, you get opinions that are all over the map. Some people get him off my team. Some people put him in AAA, let him work it out. Other people trade him away.
Austin Slater is gone, it is Camilo Doval. So there you go. Yes. Because he was a lightning rod for the Farhan era for a lot of people. So that's why but I'm just saying, to further your point, Camilo's that guy for a lot of fans.
Well, though, I don't think even the biggest Austin Slater fans, I don't think they thought he was like an everyday player.
No.
They might have thought, he's the best pinch hitter. And it's like, get out of here. But the people that really like Doval, like, I could see what they like about him. Mm. He has blow-away stuff. He already has 90-some-odd saves in a Giants uniform, which is seventh all-time, all right?
Which is pretty crazy,
Two years ago, you thought you had a 10-year closer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know what he is. And so, I think when you bring up the name Camilo Doval, the opinions are all over the map. I do want to talk about the outing he had just last night, and then where do we go from here with him? Do you trust Camilo Doval? Do you keep Camilo Doval? Do you put him down in the minors and work things out? Does that even matter? Is he just, I don't know.
Okay, we're going to talk about that, and it's going to lead us to some other.
Down the inning he had last night.
It's going to lead us to some other questions today, because, again, we'll talk some Giants, and then they deserve their place to be talked about, no doubt. But we are in the midst of a massive, massive playoff race in the Western Conference in the NBA. Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, all tied with 32 losses apiece. Nuggets got 3 games left. All those other teams, Clippers, Warriors, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, have 4 games left. And it's all going to shake out here the end of this week, culminating in Warriors-Clippers on Sunday, 12:30 tip right here on 95.7 The Game. But the start of that first 4 games is tonight, Warriors-Suns. Tip off at 7 o'clock. Warriors live right here on 95.7 The Game. Starts at 6. We're going to be breaking it all down all day long, leading you up to it. We got Eddie Johnson, obviously former Suns player, sixth man of the year, does pre- and post-game coverage for Phoenix. He's going to be joining us at 6:50, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Plus, we got a special guest coming up at 9:30, Tony Schifano, coach for SF State's men's baseball team. We have a lot to discuss there. I know it's near and dear to your heart, SF State, and what they're doing in their baseball program. I know there's been a lot of cuts or rumors about cuts going on with a lot of the athletic programs there. So very important thing we want to discuss with Tony Schifano at 9:30. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. At Spadoni, at Shasky's, the Morning Roast. Good morning to all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting back in the swing of things. Spring break is over. And young Benjamin was coming back. What was it? What? You looked at me real quick. Sam, I thought you were talking to me. Sorry. Real quick. Spring break for those, when you come on back, and you're going to learn this, Joe, like when you're 5 or 6 years old, those kids after a week thought school's done. It's like, okay, it's over. We're not going back. Monday's a reality check.
Recalibration sensation.
And I just learned as a parent now, it's the best. It's like, oh, great. They get to go back to school. It's great. I don't have to worry about it. But then you start looking at the calendar. It's like, oh, man, we only got like another month and a half, and then school's out for summer.
Dang, Joe.
I know. It's just like, now I got to figure out something to do with the kids for the entire summer, and it'll be fun. It'll be exciting, but I got to start looking at some programs in summertime, and maybe I'm gonna get my Mark Willard on and start partnering with some of the after-school programs, some of the flag football, stuff like that. That's neither here nor there. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. We're going to break down more of that Giants-Reds game, and what makes a player connect to a city? I want to explore that topic as it pertains to a Jung-Hoo Lee, a Camilo Doval, maybe a Jimmy Butler. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by San Francisco International.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Airport.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see, can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
What's up, Oreo? If you eat too many Oreo cookies and have some milk, you might burp a little bit. That's all I know. Might happen on air sometimes, too. It happens. Like a sneeze. Like, it's a rarity, like, when you sneeze on air. Like, you don't see broadcasters, like, on television. You ever notice this? They don't sneeze, ever. I know they have to. There has to be some points where it's like you can't hold it and you just got to sneeze. And maybe they pan away from it and I don't know and they turn off their mics. But that's true professionalism. And you know what? Even truer professionalism is talking through that when it's happening. Like talking through a yawn, that's an elite broadcaster right there.
I've done that a few
times. You've done it. 9 o'clock hour. We know. Mm-hmm. It happens. And by the way, it's Spadoni. It's Jasky. It's the Morning Roast coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. We have Eddie Johnson joining us in about 17 minutes. Former Phoenix Sun, current analyst for the team as the Warriors are taking on the Suns tonight. That's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. No Kevin Durant. No KDs. Probably all she wrote for the season, I would assume. As we look at the Western Conference right now, and don't worry, we'll get back to the Giants as they fall 2-0 to the Reds last night. But just looking at this Western Conference, the Suns are 35-43. They're 2.5 back of the Mavericks for that 10th and final play-in spot. I have a hard time thinking they've lost six in a row. Like, I'd be shocked if they rattled off three or four wins here in a row. I just would. Talking about disappointing teams of the year, that's probably number one for a lot of people. Maybe it is the Mavericks, but again, I think Mavericks, the trade, the injury. And you want to put disappointing, sure. I think people are just mad at Nico Harrison, if anything, whether you're a fan or a media member. But for the Suns, it's got to be one of the most disappointing seasons for them. And if you're the Warriors, you know, you lose against the Rockets. Don't lose twice in a row now. Like, I get it. You want to rest on your laurels and say, you know, we can beat this. No. You need an aggressive mindset early on in this game and setting the tone, because I did not like what I saw. Tone setting wise, last game it felt like the Rockets came out swinging. The Warriors swung back a little bit, and then they got hit on the mat and couldn't get up at one point. And it was just not a good game from Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and quite frankly, it wasn't Jimmy Butler's best game or most aggressive game. And I'm going to need an aggressive mindset from those three players.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You want to get into it, Duvall?
Sure.
All right. Camilo Duvall is a very polarizing player. The last two outings. Let's go back to the last two, because he pitched on Sunday, and then he pitched yesterday. And yesterday, you know, it's a 0-0 game in the eighth inning, and he comes in, and Logan Webb's dealing, and he looks spectacular. It is a throwback pitcher classic. Hunter Green is dynamic.
Mm.
He's sitting upper 90s the whole game.
He's got the stuff. Eight and two-thirds inning, or eight and a third inning to go. He's damn near pitching a shutout. He's throwing 99 miles an hour on paint.
Over 100. He's the third pitcher since 2008 who started a game to throw over 100 in the ninth inning. Third pitcher only.
Wait, since 2008?
2008, yep.
Not 2018, 2008?
2008, since they started tracking it.
To throw over 100?
After starting the game, he threw over 100 in the ninth inning.
Okay, 100 miles per hour. Sorry.
Yes.
I thought you were talking pitch count for
no,
a second.
No,
so,
no.
Let me clarify. I was like,
100 miles per
hour. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting, though. That shows the stuff that this guy has.
He's ridiculous.
And he gets better as the game goes
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. He barely broke a sweat yesterday. But it's an 8-8 game. Logan Webb is matching him. I mean, Logan looked like prime Greg Maddux in terms of the movement, you know, breaking left, breaking right, up, down. I mean, he had it going yesterday. The little sweeper, he had the sinker going.
He's improved. Like, he used to be a contact pitcher. Ground ball guy, but he's got put away stuff. 10 strikeouts yesterday. Bob Melvin was talking about it after the game. He was just so impressed with how he's transformed his own pitching status going forward here.
Yeah. So, you know, they go to Doval in the eighth, and people are losing their minds before he even steps onto the rubber. And he's going against the bottom of the order. And so you're thinking, all right, this is like a, you know, a situation where Doval should get things done. And you look at the last outing on Sunday, I get why you want to put him back out there. It wasn't great. You know, his problem is throwing strikes. Like, it's very simple to me. When he gets behind in counts and his mechanics get all screwy, then it's just, it's a slippery slope for him. And I think early on, if you just look at the number of pitches that he throws and the overall amount of strikes, he's over 75%. Meaning he starts you off, bang, bang. And then he could throw a couple of junk pitches, make you chase, and then put you away. Well, he basically was 50% strikes of, you know, on Sunday. He threw 20 pitches and 11 of them were for strikes. He's falling behind in the count and he can't hit the zone. Same thing happened yesterday. And so right away, leadoff hitter, he's got him with 2-2. He throws a devastating slider and the guy lays off it. Now it's 3-2. He doesn't even come close on a cutter. Not even close. You see, and they cut to the television broadcast, cuts to the dugout. And Bob Melvin tells whoever the pitching coach is, get on the phone. And I'm thinking, damn, one batter in? And now he's had an issue with holding runners on. It's a speedy guy at first base. And they want him to not do this high leg kick, which he's accustomed to doing. They want him to work on this slide step. Now he goes, it's the first time I've ever seen him go to the slide step. He goes to the slide step and automatically he throws a ball right into the ground, and you're thinking, oh, gosh. And as he's doing that, the hitter shows bunt, almost like Little League, where you're trying to like, hey, we're going to show bunt and see if this guy can even throw a strike, and we're going to get in his dome.
Mind games.
Exactly. Yeah. And he scud missiles one. The next one, same thing, boom, hits the guy right away. Okay, so you've walked a guy, you've hit a guy. You put two guys on base. If you walk a guy to start an inning, he's probably going to score. You put two guys on for free, two free 90s, you're probably giving up multiple runs. The next guy shows bunt. It's a ball. Again, he can't throw strikes. Then he gets the bunt down. Bailey goes and picks it up, fires it down the line. So now you got second and third with one out. And immediately, they yank him, and they go to Eric Miller. And you got second and third. They end up walking a guy on four pitches. And boom, 2-1 count, another hitter's count. Blake Dunn steps up, ball on the outside. He just rips it down the right field line. It scores two. Wipe away the great game from Logan Webb. Now, this happens. You know, relievers aren't perfect. You're going to have some hiccups throughout the year. But this is back-to-back start. Outings, for Camilo Duvall, where command is the problem. And you could see in real time, the team knew right away his mechanics, confidence, whatever it is, wasn't good. Go back and watch. Bob Melvin literally told the pitching coach, get on the phone, get someone up after one batter. So I think that this thing is very delicate.
Six games,
with Camilo.
Six games pitched, 5 1/3 innings overall, 5 hits, 6 runs, 3 of those earned. He has 2 strikeouts, 3 walks. So overall, just not been good enough. And that's unfortunate because, again, as you said, you felt like his swagger was back early on. I understand Bob Melvin, though, in this case. Like, these are early games that you feel like if you're close and the way this team has been playing and fighting back, like, you could win these things. So you don't want to let it get too far, like, out of the way of you and out of, you know, control here if it gets 3 to 4 runs. And it's like, man, because they did have an opportunity there in the bottom of the ninth to maybe make this thing. And then Elliot Ramos hit one on the nose, but it was just right to the left fielder in Cincinnati. And that was all she wrote, and the game was over. But, like, I was talking about this with Sam. You know, Bob Melvin wasn't here for that all-star year for Camilo Duvall. All he's known is kind of a shaky Camilo Duvall. He hasn't seen the best of him. So in his mind, he can only go with what he's seen, right, and the feel for him. And not to say that Bob Melvin, and we all know Bob Melvin and his touch with the bullpen hasn't been the greatest in his career, going back to his Oakland days.
Absolutely.
That might be not a strength of his. I think we constantly compared him and Bruce Bochy when Bochy was here with the Giants and Bo Mel was there at the A's. It was always on heightened come playoff time, the touch that Bruce had and lack thereof with Bob. Now, that being said, Camilo has to help himself out here. And whether that's, you know, the pitch clock that's doing him a disservice, whether it's the late kick, I don't know. I don't know what he can do, Joe, to, like, just take a step back, breathe. I don't know what it is.
It's part confidence. It's part mechanics.
But how does he get that confidence is what I'm saying.
First off, you can't experiment with a slide step And when you literally can't throw strikes.
Is it like taking him out of these higher leverage situations now? Is it?
But I thought he had earned it after the three or four good outings. And then it's like, all right, he's turned a corner. And now we've reverted back.
Exactly.
But here's the bigger problem is that the fans don't have confidence. You could hear on the broadcast somebody in center field, come on, Camilo.
Yeah.
Come on, Camilo. Like every time he's throwing a ball. I just put out, and this is the tweet I put out late last night. Poor Doval just lost his mechanics and his confidence. It's back-to-back outings where it felt like he couldn't command a pitch and he was searching to find rhythm and feel. They got to get him back to where he was a week ago. The responses from the fans now it's the internet, so you're going to skew more negative. Verlander's mad at him. You could see it in the dugout. Probably should relegate him to the sixth or seventh inning. He's never going to be consistent. How about deciding to try a slide step right now? What a perfect, awful time to experiment. He's a head case. Trade him. Get rid of him. Drop him to AAA. I mean, like, he is a very polarizing player on the Giants. I'm not ready to get rid of the guy. But they got to get him right.
Wow, six games, get rid of him. Wow, that's all it took, huh? It's I get it. Like, you want to win they're 8-2, guys. If this team was, 2-8 and he was doing that, sure, I could hear that.
He has promise.
Yes.
He has ability, but right now, he's his own worst enemy. If you're a reliever, you cannot come into a game and not throw strikes.
I get it. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We'll pick up this conversation maybe a little bit later in the show, but Eddie Johnson's coming up next to preview a little bit Warriors Suns, but also talk about, Kevin Durant and his tenure there. And I want to talk about Jimmy Butler with Eddie as well and how he's ingratiated himself in Golden State. What he's seen from the Warriors team thus far, big loss, obviously, to the Rockets, but three big wins prior to that against the Grizzlies, against the Lakers, and against the Nuggets. So we'll talk to Eddie Johnson coming up on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yay!
Thanks, Moses. Pardon the Red Sea. Will they do that tonight in the desert? As the Warriors are taking on the Phoenix Suns out in Arizona. Warriors 46-32 on the season. The Suns clinging to an 11th spot. They're trying to get maybe the 10th, and I don't think it's going to happen for them this season. They're on a six-game losing streak. No Kevin Durant tonight as well. We're going to be joined by Eddie Johnson, who does coverage for the Suns pre- and post-game, and also former player for them, Sixth Man of the Year. Also has a book titled A Suns Revenge. No, not Suns, S-U-N-S. S-O-N-S, A Suns Revenge. They have the ebook and hardcover available on Amazon. And it's kind of cool. It's like a little basketball book story about a kid playing at Arizona State. It's like a murder mystery. So it's very, very cool. Check that out, again, on Amazon. Eddie Johnson going to be joining us momentarily. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky here. We were talking some Giants as they fall 2-0 to the Cincinnati Reds. But a massive game tonight coming off a very disappointing loss, and maybe some people thought it was a scheduled loss. Maybe some people weren't, too disappointed with it, considering they had beaten the Grizzlies, the Lakers, and the Nuggets prior to that. But again, it just goes to show you, this late in the season, it's tighter than it's ever been. Tight, tight, tight. As I go, Tuco Salamanca, shout out Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. Tight, 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 yeah! Clippers, Warriors, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, all tied, and the Nuggets, by the way, with 32 losses apiece. This is the tightest race I can remember in quite some time. And maybe in Eddie's lifetime, maybe he can talk to us about that, because we do have Eddie Johnson joining us now, Joe, on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Eddie, good morning. It's Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky on the Morning Roast here. Could you remember a Western Conference race, or hell, any conference race this tight with a week to go in the regular season?
Not in my memory, and I'm kind of old now, so I can't remember everything. Right? They just told me you guys' name, and I forgot that as soon as you got on the air. But no, it's been fantastic this year, and we always hope for parity. We always hope to have a good postseason where it's very competitive and it's like back and forth. Series go seven games, and you got buzzer beaters, you got upsets. like, we hope for all of that, right? Because what we've done, we've, like, gone through the 82-game marathon. We've gone through all the storylines. And now, you know, it's getting to the moment of, okay, who's going to win this thing? And honestly, I don't think anybody can definitively say a certain team is going to win this thing. And because we have two teams in Oklahoma City and Cleveland that pretty much have dominated the league record-wise, but we also got ways to pick at them to say, man, they just might not beat this team. They might not beat that team. And so going into the playoffs, it should be a tremendous feeling for the NBA fan.
Is KD going to play at all over, you know, the rest of the season? I know there's only about a week left.
I don't know. I just, you know, with an ankle, you know, the one thing with KD, you don't question whether he wants to play. The guy loves to play basketball. He loves to be out there competing. And so if he doesn't get back out there, it's because he can't. It's not because, you know, he's got this little weird thought, well, I got to be 100% and I have to be this and that. That's not in his mentality at all. So, you know, it's unfortunate. The odds are against the Suns even thinking they can get into the play-in now. It's just very difficult when you're losing games down the stretch. You have to win your way in and not hope teams lose. So a very disappointing season in that regard, and definitely something to shore up and put a Band-Aid on this offseason to see exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I'm from afar watching, and I'm thinking, I wonder if Phoenix Suns fans ever connected with Kevin Durant. I know he hasn't been there very long, and obviously the truly great, great, great players have, you know, a tremendous amount of fans and name recognition. But, like, when the Warriors got Chris Paul, we never really felt like we connected with him, per se. But for some reason, when they traded for Baron Davis midseason, he was like the savior, and we connected with him right away. Was Durant ever connected or embraced by the fans like that?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, look, he can't help but marvel at the way KD competes and how great a scorer he is. Oh, yes, the Suns fans, they very well connected with him. But you judge by wins. You judge by successes in the playoffs. And, you know, it has nothing to do with your basketball ability. You know, everybody knows. You march Kevin Durant out there in the uniform, he's going to get you 25 to 28 points a game. He's going to shoot 50% plus. He's going to shoot near 40, which he's doing this year from three. He's going to shoot a tremendous percentage from the free throw line. And, you know, most importantly, he's going to show up every night. Like, he's going to play nicked up. You know, he's not going to wait till he's 100%. All those things that you want from a professional athlete, KD gives you. And so the fans, the Suns fans, without a doubt, you know, but, you know, in the days of salary cap and the days of, like, you're restricted in certain movement, that's when people start to bring things up. But it's never a question of his basketball skill. Now, I know Kendrick Perkins, he always brings up leadership and all that when it comes to Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith. But you lead in your own way. And that's why I'll push back on those guys. Everybody can't be a vocal leader. Some guys aren't comfortable doing it. But how can you lead? Well, being the first person on the court at practice, which he is, being one of the last people to leave, which he is, in the ear of young players, giving them advice, which he does. But because people don't see it, then they think, oh, he's not leading. Or if they see his surliness, and he's surly, out on the court, they'll take it for a negative. And so I've been around a lot of guys. I've played with a lot of players, and everybody immerses into their role of leadership. For example, you know, Steph. Steph is not a highly vocal leader out there on the court. Like, he allows Draymond to do it. And when Draymond wasn't doing it back in the day, it was Iguodala doing it. Klay was very quiet. Klay wasn't a guy out there being demonstrative on the court and instructing people and all of that. But that didn't mean that they weren't doing it. They just weren't doing it in front of the cameras. Like, and so it's different types of leadership. I continually tell people that, you know, they want to just pinpoint one way of leading. Oh, rah-rah guy, he's out there. Man, come on. there's a lot of ways to be impactful leading, and I think he gets a bad rap for that.
Talking with Eddie Johnson here on the Morning Roast, Suns broadcaster, NBA Sirius XM Radio, with Justin Termini. Yeah, no, when he said Kendrick Perkins, because when I think leadership, I think Kendrick Perkins, the gall of that guy to call out Kevin Durant sometimes. But that's just where we are in a media society right now. And Eddie, I wanted to talk about, you know, we're 2 months in now, basically, post-trade deadline, the Jimmy Butler era in Golden State. What have you seen from afar, and what do you see about this Golden State Warriors team that has shifted in these last 2 months? Obviously, the win-loss record, but the team itself, since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler and the departure of one Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, well, look, when you pick up somebody like Jimmy Butler, a guy that knows how to win, one of the smartest players in the game, as Larry Brown said, used to always say, he and George Karl back in the day, as I played for them, you know, just play the right way. Play the right way, you know, and he, they would love him. Like, literally, those two coaches would actually love him because, he, you know, he reminds me a lot, and you guys remember Derek McKee. Mm. Derek McKee was a guy, you look at him and you say, man, this dude can probably score 25 a game, but he doesn't. And it's not like he can't, but it's just like he just picks and chooses how he's going to play, and, you know, he's not going to be – he's not going to take bad shots. He's not going to, you know, be obvious or overly aggressive with the ball. He's just going to make the right pass. He's going to defend. It's that kind of guy, right? And those coaches love that guy. And that's what Jimmy Butler is. And so at times, did you get frustrated with Derek McKee? Yeah. Yeah. Because, man, come on, be aggressive. Shoot it, man. Like, go for it. You hot. Don't pass that shot up. That's Jimmy Butler. And that's the part that you all got to get used to. And I continually tell people this. Like, he, to me, is not a number one, even though he looked like a number one in Miami because they got to the finals and all of that. But he's really a number two in a sense, and because or three, because he's not going to – most great offensive players, guys, and you're looking at one in Steph every night, you saw one in Clay who played like a number one, they shoot the ball all the freaking time. They don't care. They're overly aggressive. They're going for it. They're staying, of course, to their detail. The other night, Steph was off. Couldn't score. The Houston's defense was just locking them up. And you would expect Jimmy Butler to be aggressive. Took 7 shots. See, so that's the negative there, because I don't think Golden State has that unbelievable number two. I don't think Podziemski, even though he's improved this year and he's playing well, I just don't know if he can morph into that guy like Clay.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.